You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Hello, everybody. So today is Tuesday, January 17th, and I have succeeded in bruising my chin.
It's like a place that I thought I would never even think could be bruised.
Do you remember that trend in when we were like kids where people would squeeze their chin really hard and then hit it or whatever that was?
I did not participate in this trend.
God, what was it? It was like, oh no, you'd squeeze your chin and then you'd flick it really hard and it would bruise.
Oh.
And everyone did that. That's what my freaking chin looks like right now because I tried to use one of those like skin sucker thingies and I thought that because I used the highest setting on Jackson's face that I could use it on my face too. But my feminine skin, my delicate features are much too dainty to be on the highest setting. So I now look like I have a hickey on my chin and I have client calls all day tomorrow. So guess who has to put concealer on?
You don't have to put concealer on. Just use the beauty filter on Zoom.
That's true because you really can't see it like this.
I can't see it at all right now.
But just know that I did that bad to myself. I literally only got it because like I'm so like right now skincare has always been like a big thing for me before it was like even like a trend. But now that I have that fucking skincare fridge, like I have separate morning and night routines.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I have acronyms to remember like every item in the morning that goes on and every item at night. And my acronym at night is Even Big Huge Nipples Really Matter. And that was courtesy of Victoria because I did have it Even Big Hairy Nuts Really Matter. And Victoria was like, no, it should be Even Big Huge Nipples.
I like that. Okay, wait. So what does each acronym stand for?
The E stands for eye cream. This is at nighttime. So eye cream. The B stands for Buffett by The Ordinary. H is hyaluronic acid. N is niacinamide. Nipples, retinol. Then moisturizer. And then I forgot to put this on the end of the sentence, but I need to. Marula oil. No, I did. I did put it at the end. Matter. Marula oil. Matter.
Marula oil. I don't know that I've heard of that one. Ooh. Out of everything you just said, I don't think I know what marula oil is.
Marula oil is so good for your skin. It's such a nice like sealant, like after everything's like set in.
Yeah.
My routine now takes me like an hour and a half because I let everything soak in. And I'm like, this is me time. This is time for reflection. Just kidding. I'm not normally reflecting. I'm normally on FaceTime talking shit.
Yeah.
Or yelling at my watch for fucking bullying me. Liz, why did you make me get this thing? Like, it is bullying me.
You can you can like turn off the bullying.
Yeah, I can, but I'm a sadistic. I'm a sadistic piece of shit. I did get close yesterday to closing all my rings, but I have yet to close all three. You, on the other hand, little miss, 748 calories burnt today.
Oh, yeah, I close my rings pretty much every day.
Whatever, man. I'm just
I want to be a limber old lady, and old ladies do a lot of walking, so I'm starting now. Literally all of that is walking. I haven't done anything else. That's the only exercise I've done today is walking. I just walk a shit ton. I've walked almost 12,000 steps today.
Dude. I've got
almost 5.5 miles.
Liz, that's embarrassing for me. I walked 2,715 today because I wasn't allowed to get up from my fucking desk.
Yeah, no, that definitely, it doesn't help if you're like locked to your desk all day long. It makes it really, really difficult.
The other day, I literally almost went to Target, not because I wanted anything, but because I was like, I need to walk. Like, I need to get out of the, you know, like, I need to get out of the house. And, like, of course, you know, I could walk Mia. But, like, cold as shit right now. Yeah. And it was raining. And I was like, I don't, you know, like, I want to get those steps in. But, like, So then I started jumping in place. And that burned a few calories. But then I've also, like, when I'm walking around, I'll be like, turn on indoor workout.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Indoor walk. So, yep.
Or you can do outdoor walk when you're taking Mia on a walk.
Oh yeah, I always do that, even though it's pathetically short. It's like 4 minutes.
You know what? I want every minute of credit, which is why I wear this thing all day long, because I want every minute of credit for every step that I get. And so I remember when I first got mine, I've had an Apple Watch now for like 4 years. And when I first got it, I was working an office desk job, and I was taking probably 1,000, 2,000 steps a day. But I just didn't even know until I could see, like, you know, you're not counting. All I knew was, oh, I sat down a lot today. And there was just no way for me to even figure it out. So, you know, it's helpful to like see, yeah, I think I'll go to Target just to like see if I can get an extra mile of steps in for an hour, because without it, I would just have no idea where I was at. So it's very helpful. I use it way more. I've used it way more this year, or the 2022. Probably than I have ever owned it, because I would be really bad about charging it at night and remembering it. But now that like you have one, and my boyfriend has one, and my grandpa has one, and so does my grandma, like, you know, we're all synced up. We can all like walkie-talkie each other, and it's fun. So now I wear it every day.
Yeah, I like it. I'm definitely going to keep using it for sure, but I need to make myself like get out of the house so that I can get more steps in. I'm actually about to look at my, I'm about to look at my sleep schedule. I'm going to look and see what my, my heart rate went up to 79 this morning.
Whoa.
Woo.
Super caffeinated coffee.
God. I'm trying to find. Oh, I did have 2 cups of coffee. Maybe that is right. That's probably right. I just want to look at my sleep. My sleep is just so weird. Like last night I got, let's see, how much core sleep did I get? Oh wait. Core sleep, 6 hours, deep sleep, 15 minutes. That's some shit.
Whoa. I normally get like 6 hours of deep sleep and like 3 of light.
How does it measure that though?
I think it uses your heart rate. It uses a couple of different things because your heart rate definitely changes. And I think your body temperature.
Oh, yep. You're right. Respiratory, wrist temperature, and heart rate.
Yeah.
Jackson keeps telling me, he's like, that thing, it does not know your stress level. And I'm like, yeah, it does, because right now it says I'm on overload because you're making me mad.
Isn't it so funny? When it tells you you're being stressed, you can be like, look.
You're stressing me out.
You're stressing me out.
It says AI stress 33. Pay attention.
Yeah. Back the fuck up.
Yeah. Literally, another cool thing that I love about having a watch is now when I'm using Bookly, I don't have to open Bookly on my phone. I can just open the app and start my timer.
Yeah.
I love that.
There's just, and now I noticed, like if I'm ever not wearing it, I'll go to like check the time. It's just so nice to have the damn time, you know?
It really is.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I love it.
So, we were going to say that at the same time.
Yes.
You're saying, yeah. Yeah, I love it.
Well, after our Apple Watch rave, which I am really glad that I was able to peer pressure Brooke into getting one.
Always. Y'all do anything always tells me to do.
We can transition into today's episode, which... Yep. Is going to be about tough pills to swallow, bitches.
Yes, tough pills to swallow. And we're talking about literal, like, actual pills and...
Metaphorical pills.
So, sit back. Maybe grab some coffee if you feel so inclined.
Take your pills if you haven't yet today.
Especially if you're listening to this when it's first, like... gone live at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ring a ding ding. Time to take your meds.
Take your meds, bitch. Take them. What were we saying?
Oh, okay. So I think you have the biggest update. But since we have both talked about our journey with SSRIs on this podcast. We have a lot of listeners who are either taking the same things as us or are considering getting on SSRIs and just want to hear other people's experiences. This episode will definitely be for you. And as always, we are not doctors. We are just talking about our experiences. And that's it. That's just it. You don't need to drag out I feel like whenever you go on like a YouTube channel or something, what is it called? This is a word that I have tried to remember.
Disclaimer.
Yes. So, the disclaimer is like 5 minutes. We're not doctors. That's the end of the disclaimer.
Yeah. We're not doctors at all. We're just two individuals who have lots of doctors between the two of us.
Yeah. So, and this is our experience. So, what is your medicine update? And maybe like, what's a little summary, like a little brief summary for anybody who hasn't listened to like the previous episode where you were talking about it?
So I think the previous episode, we were talking about the fact that I added Wellbutrin on top of my Lexapro. And the reason that my doctor did it was just because I was feeling very like the bad was coming back for no apparent reason, just like not wanting to get out of bed, feeling like when I did get out of bed, if I didn't have something to do, I was like a waste of space. I wasn't being productive, whatever, like, especially on the weekend, I'd wake up and be like, oh my God, like I should be doing something for the podcast. And in reality, like all I wanted to do was lay on the couch and read with my boyfriend, just like chill. And I'm entitled to do that. So I let her know that, and that was why she added the Wellbutrin to my regimen. And I believe the last episode, we also said that we're both on the same. So I'm on 10 milligrams of generic Lexapro, which is escitalopram, and then 150 milligrams of generic Wellbutrin, which is bupropion. I don't really know how to say it. I think it's bupropion.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it my little boop.
Boop. That's so cute.
Little pram and little boop.
That's right.
Otherwise, I call it Lexi P and Welly B.
That's so cute. I'm going to start calling it that.
But yeah, so last week's episode, I specifically stated that I was like, I don't know if they're supposed to be like this big change for me like there was when I started Lexapro 2 years ago, because I really wasn't feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of been looking for it in other ways. I do feel that I'm a little bit more focused during certain tasks. Like, I've kind of stopped when I'm doing like chores. I've stopped jumping from one to the other. Like, you know, you'll be doing dishes, but then you'll see there's a towel on the floor. Oh, I've got to go do laundry. And then you start the laundry and you see dirty shoes. And you're like, I need a vacuum. I've stopped doing that. I feel like I can, like, really focus for hours, which is probably why I've been reading. I've finished, like, so far this month, I've read 14 books.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I'm, like, way more focused with reading than I used to be. And, yeah, I don't really know. I don't know. I don't feel, like, super over the top happy or anything, but you know, like we were saying, I don't want it to just be like, oh, I'm getting by, like I'm satisfied.
Yeah,
I want to be over the top happy, but I know that's like not really realistic for life.
Yeah, that's, I think that's what I was saying a little bit too on last week's episode, was so I've been on both of those for over a year now. And it's like, you know, my best concoction, maybe you could say, the mixture, and it has put me in the best headspace. And it's like done the most for me, but it's definitely not a happy pill. Even though I put them in a cute little container that says happy pills on them. It is really hard to describe, because they have made things possible for me that were just impossible before, that just normal executive functions, but they're still not easy. And I still have bad days, like depressive days, and it is doing a lot of good for me, because over the past year, there have been times where I forgot to reorder it. So I went a couple days without it, waiting for me to get my prescription in, or I just totally forgot to take it for a couple days in a row. And oh, bitch, that feeling.
It's not good.
Oh, my God. The brain zaps are so weird. Okay, and can I have a hot take for a minute? So I know the brain... Have you felt the brain zaps?
Yes.
Okay. So brain zaps, obviously, when I feel that, I go, whoops, probably haven't taken my medication in like 3 days or something, because that's when it starts happening, is around day three when I forget. And then I'm like, oh, shit, I gotta go take it. There is like a part of me that likes the brain zaps. Is that weird?
I mean, it definitely, I don't like it. No, it definitely.
No. Like, so I know obviously that is a sign that I have messed up somewhere and I go fix it. But
mental illness.
It's mental illness, bitch.
It's mental illness, y'all.
But like, it has this buzz effect, right? And it almost feels like It almost feels like I've had like two glasses of wine because I'll turn my head and go, whoa.
Yes, that is the feel. Okay, I understand what you're saying. When
you know?
When you compare it to drinking, that's yeah. like how it feels when the alcohol starts to hit you and you're like, fuck, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not like, I mean, obviously I would not love for that to happen to me while I'm at work or, you know, something like that. But there was a day I remember I was like on a walk and I was walking through the park and I felt it and I was like, whoa. But at the time it was kind of cool because I was like walking through the park and I had nothing else to do. And you know, I was like, I kind of got a free buzz going right now.
It's a very strange feeling. It doesn't take me days. It'll take me maybe 8 hours.
Holy shit.
Like if I, or even maybe less than that, if I wake up, if I sleep really late on the weekends, because I normally take it at 9:40 or like, no, I take it at 9 now. If I sleep in to like 1 p.m. or something, by 2:30, my head is spinning and I'm like, dude, I forgot to take my medication. I don't feel right.
Whoa. No, it takes at least 3 days for me, for my body to physically start noticing to the point where I am like, oh, I forgot something.
Oh yeah. It's not a good feeling, but like also it's not like so bad. Like I don't want anyone listening to get like scared of it. Cause it's not scary. It's just like, kind of like it's the feeling of being lightheaded a little bit too. Like when you were like, I forgot to fucking eat. Like, it's kind of like that.
It's like having two glasses of wine on an empty stomach.
Yes.
It's really weird because it's, I think like, you know, oh, if I feel this, something is wrong. But it's almost like liking the smell of gasoline or Sharpies or something. Like, I know I'm not supposed to like this, but I kind of do.
Mental illness, y'all.
Yeah.
We're witnessing mental illness, y'all.
It's mental illness. So, yeah, that's the update. Just for anybody who is on those medications, I know when I was about to take them, I was looking up YouTube videos and I was looking up podcast episodes. And I wanted to hear other people's experiences being on these. So it's both of those have done really, really great things for me. They have had excellent positive effects on my life. And, you know, sometimes you like never know if, or at least I don't, maybe other people do, like is my depression and my anxiety ever going to go away? Or do I have just a chemical imbalance? You know, like if I fix the problems in my life, is my depression going to go away? Is my anxiety going to go away? And, you know, is there a point where you get off of these medications and stop taking them? And that's like a really hard thing to know, because when you're on them, you're like, oh yeah, I feel great. I'm doing good. But are you doing good because of the medication, or are you like good, good? And I don't know the answer to that, but at least for me, during the times that I have been even more irresponsible and I've forgotten to take it for like a week or something, because I've done that, this is why I am not on a birth control pill, because I cannot be trusted. But I have become depressed again, and so I'm like, fuck, I thought I was doing so good. And you know what? It's a chemical imbalance. We're dealing with it. And so the answer is, at the moment, no, the medication is doing what it's supposed to be doing. So we're staying on it. But that's like a really hard thing. How do you know? You're like, okay, is this just going to be a forever thing? Or is it, you know, is there going to come a point where I wouldn't need to take it? But then how would I know if I don't need to take it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people who are very opposed to medication, they're mostly the ones who eventually get off of it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was when I was younger because I didn't understand it. But now that I'm older and I do understand it, I truly, if I could have it my way, I feel like I'd have one of these little pills every morning, because I know that I am just prone to anxiety. Like, nothing is wrong in my life right now. Knock on wood. Nothing is wrong in my life right now. There are no issues in my life. I'm happy. Like, I love my job. Everything's going like great in my life. And with that being said, like, everything was fine before I started Wellbutrin, like, in my life, but I still had that crushing weight on me for no reason. You know, just you wake up and you see the fucking blinds, or like there's some light crack through and it's like a sunny Sunday and you're not doing anything and you feel awful about yourself and you're just like, why do I feel like this? It's so dumb. And yeah, so just knowing that, I just feel like some people are just more prone to feelings of anxiety and like melancholia,
mm-hmm.
a little bit, especially very sensitive people who are more sensitive to their environment, people with like health issues, like, you know, if I'm having like a bad, like, I could call it like a bad gut week, because when I'm having a really bad week, my like upper stomach area feels very bloated. I'm constipated. I feel like shit. Don't want to do anything. That makes me depressed,
mm-hmm.
even with medication. And yeah, like, I just feel like some people are prone to it and they're always going to be prone to it just because that's their genetic makeup. And yeah, so I just kind of feel like I don't see myself anytime soon wanting to not be on antidepressants, honestly.
Yeah, same. They improve my life so much. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I think the only time I ever experienced negative side effects were when I first started taking it. Mm-hmm. But since then, I haven't experienced any.
I think God,
the night sweats.
I was just going to say the night sweats were the worst.
That was the worst one. It was, I was waking up in puddles of my own sweat, which by the morning was cold.
Neck is sweaty.
And it's like the same feeling as putting on a scratchy sweater. Like, it just makes your skin curl.
Yeah. That is the worst part. That was absolutely the worst part. And every time your dosage gets increased, that happens again. And it's just like, you wake up. Like, I am the least sweaty person that I know. And I would wake up dripping, like feeling actual drops rolling down my neck. And I'm just like, you know me, I've got two fans on in my room.
Yeah.
It's ice cold in here. Why am I sweaty?
Yeah. No.
Why are you running? Why are you gay? Why am I sweaty?
That was definitely the worst one for me too. Although do you remember when I had that weird reaction to like the first two times I took Lexapro, like first two pills I ever took, I had a really weird reaction where, I felt extremely nauseous. My heart was racing. Like, I couldn't get my heart rate to go down and I felt like I was going to pass out.
Mm-hmm.
And on the third day, I was like, okay, this is the last chance this thing is getting, and I'm not taking it again. And I'm going to try a different one. And then it was fine. And I was like, okay, I'll keep trying this. And then it turned out to work. So I don't know, you know, those first 2 days were like, I was like, It was so weird. It was almost like this very conscious disassociation. Like I felt like disconnected from my body, but I felt like I could feel my heart racing and I couldn't slow it down. It was very strange.
Yeah, it is not a fucking good feeling at all. And I don't know. And you know what else is just really weird? It's just like comparing. When I compare how I feel or how I, you know, felt starting Lexapro versus when I was on Zoloft. Oh my God, dude, I could not get out of bed. I was so tired on Zoloft. Like, I would take it and just the whole day I would just be in like this lethargic state. And I honestly feel like that is the type of stuff that like people experience that and it pushes them away from the idea of it because they think that all of SSRIs are going to be like that. And like, honestly, I feel like Lexapro and Wellbutrin are the two most like people have the best experience with them. Zoloft to me is the IUD of antidepressants because you either really love it or you really fucking hate it.
Yeah,
there's no middle ground.
Yeah,
and I really hated it.
Ugh. Well, that is the update on the actual pills you can swallow.
On the actual pills you can swallow if you want to. And again, we're not doctors.
That's right.
We're just being transparent.
But no, we're not being parents. And that leads us right into the next topic.
Yo, what if there was a podcast about two like transgender people who were parents and it was called Transparency?
Oh my God, that would be such a... Oh, I love that.
And it's just about them talking about like parenting their child as like a trans couple. That's so cool.
That would be so cool.
If anybody wants to copyright that, hit me up. I own the rights to that, you fool.
So, okay. Brooke and I have... It's no secret anymore. Why did I call it a secret? It's never been a secret.
Yeah, it was never a secret. We've been so vocal about this.
It's okay. So Brooke and I are in our late 20s. A lot of our friends are getting married. They're having kids. They're buying houses. Maybe only some of them. And it's kind of like, where do we fall into this thing? And how do we react to people telling us these things? It's almost like when somebody has a pregnancy announcement now, like I gotta give it a second before I react because I don't know whether to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Or I'm so happy for you. I saw this on TikTok. It was really funny. And it was a girl that was like, she's 27 and she was holding her baby. And it's just like captioned, like, sometimes I forget I'm not a teen mom. Like, and I was like, whoa, you know, and she was like, I don't have to like walk around the store and push my stroller and nobody's looking at me like, oh my God, that child has a child, mm-hmm. You know, like, but I didn't even think about that. If I had a kid right now, like, it's almost like growing up, and if you're super religious and you're being told, like, you need to save sex for marriage, and then you get married and you're like, oh my God, sex is bad. Well, you know, it's been like, don't have a kid till you're married, don't have a kid till you're married. And then you have a kid and you're like, oh my God, did I do something wrong? And we all still feel like 18 in a way. You know, it's like, oh, if we were to have kids, we wouldn't be teen moms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this is a very interesting time to be alive, I think, for millennials, and seeing how all of us are approaching motherhood in different ways. And And part of that is deciding whether or not we even are interested in motherhood.
Yeah. Or getting married.
Yeah. Or getting married and or obviously, like myself, people our age are already married and divorced. So
yeah, like, and some people our age are already married and divorced twice.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So it's just yeah, it's an interesting time because for a long time, you know, you tend to follow the same path, quote unquote, as everybody else. You're going to school, you're going to college, you're dating, and then everybody kind of starts getting married, everybody starts having their first baby. But then after that, you know, everybody's timelines are all over the place. So it's just really interesting to like scroll on social media or something and see all of the different like life announcements.
Yeah, it is. It's at it, there was a point actually like a month or so ago where I got like not bothered, but I was like genuinely a little confused, which is really weird because I would read like articles or like I'd see memes about like, you know, that the meme that's always on Facebook, like I get on Facebook, everyone's having a kid, everyone's getting married, everyone's buying a house, and I'm over here like just looking for food. And I would be like, why do people care? Like, why is it such a big deal? Like, who cares? You know, like it's the joke's not funny anymore. Like, we're all different. We get it. Everybody's on a different life path, whatever. But then like, I think I got on Facebook one night and like, I mean, there were seven, I'm not kidding you, seven baby announcements, three engagement shoots, two weddings, one of which I was in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like two people closing on a house, idiots who post their home with their address, like on the, that is so dumb. If you're listening to this and you've done that, you're dumb. I'm sorry. If you're my friend, you've done it, you're dumb. People can literally find you and kill you. Like, take that down right now. Anyway, yeah. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, the reason that I don't update on Facebook anymore, the reason that the only thing I use on Facebook is the Coven group, is because I feel like I have nothing in common with any of those people. I don't feel like anything in my life would interest them because none of their shit interests me. Yeah. I don't feel inclined to like, you know, be nosy. I don't care like who's getting married to whom. I don't like want to look at people's like newborn baby pictures. Like I don't care in the kindest way possible. It's just not on my radar. Yeah. And for that, but that night though, like seeing all of it, I was just like, what do people think I'm doing?
Like, right. Because you're not posting.
Yeah. But I like that anonymity, you know, like I go home like to see my, like I go home to see Victoria and like, all of these people who I haven't seen in years come up to me. And you know, the first thing they say to me, oh my God, I listened to your podcast. Like that's all they know about my life now is the podcast. That's it. Cause I don't post about anything else. And I do like that for myself. I feel like when I was younger, I posted a lot more stuff on the internet. And now that I'm older, I'm just like, I don't care as much. Like
it's kind of funny because I feel like, I mean, we are the generation of the Facebook relationship status, right? Like it was not real until it was Facebook official when we were in high school.
Yes.
And if it was not Facebook official, it wasn't fucking real yet. And it was like, it felt like super public relationships getting together and then also breaking up. And like, why did it almost feel a little bit like public shame to end your relationship and then have to like like update your Facebook and it would announce that to all of your friends. That felt like public shame.
Oh my God, it was the worst, dude. I remember specifically doing that one time, sitting on your bed crying because my boyfriend and I broke up and I immediately took it off Facebook. And I just felt like everybody was like looking at me. Like, yeah, probably nobody was like looking at me, but like people noticed, like people commented on that shit back then. Like people cared.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just so, it was like an integral part of your relationship was, yes, if this was not a thing, if you did not have this on your Facebook, then you were just like talking or something. You weren't an actual thing. And now I have found peace in flying under the radar, essentially. And if I ever get married again, nobody's going to know about it, probably until I post some picture of it. And I don't know, like I, for big life events and things, like I still want the gorgeous photos and I want to, you know, print them off and I want to make books and like photo albums and things, but I'm just like, really, I really have lost all fucks to give to post it on social media. And I think part of that is I just don't, and there is nothing wrong with posting them on social media. I just want to like throw that out there. This is my just personal feelings at the moment, when they could totally change. But I lost any reasons for like, why am I doing this other than to see the likes? I mean, you know, there are people that like, I would want to know this thing happened, but I don't know. I feel very strange posting about myself on social media platforms at the moment. So I'm not doing it. I'm not on social media. I mean, like my profiles are there, but I'm not posting. And it just makes me feel really good to not do that. And that has just been my experience. Not posting things and barely being on social media for the past couple of months. I've really enjoyed it, actually. And I'm trying to think of like what circumstance would I like most definitely post about, and I can't even think about it. I could have a baby right now and none of you people would know about it. Just kidding. You guys know me. I would never have a child.
I'm trying to think. I'm going to open up my Facebook right now. We're going to see what my last post was. I bet it was about Mia. Yep. My last post was literally about getting Mia an AirTag and an AirTag collar because...
Oh my God, you got it?
Yes, I did. It's coming in the mail Friday because she tried to run out the door today and she succeeded. And she got out on the porch and she just sat there and barked. And Jackson grabbed her and put her back inside and like...
And you were like, we're buying that ASAP.
Yeah, I was like, it's been in my cart for a week. I told Liz I was going to get it. I'm fucking getting it. AirTags are only $30. It's not worth like her running off. My last three posts are pictures of my dog. Then there's a wishful thinking post. Then there's another picture of my dog. Then there's a picture of my friend's new puppy. Then there's a picture of my possum ornament. Another picture of Mia, wishful thinking. I updated my photo. Another picture of Mia and Cypress, Victoria's dog, me and Jackson. That's it. Like, I literally don't post anything like that. And, you know, I do think that if I got engaged again, I would post about it. I do think that if I bought a house, I'd post about it. Would I post pictures of the outside of it? No, because I'm not a freaking moron.
Yeah.
Like, y'all want to get kidnapped so bad. Y'all want to die so bad.
It reminds me of that ad from like 2008 where a mom is posting on Facebook her pictures of vacation, like, we're loving Hawaii. And then the, like, robber, like, a guy, the profile picture of a guy in a black mask is like, oh, good to know. Or, you know,
yes, it's just like, dude,
that's such a boomer move.
Like, literally just, like, goes up in there, like, would just rob you blind.
Yeah.
I sounded so country just now, I'm sure.
Rob you blind.
Rob you blind.
Look at my babies cuddling in my lap.
Look at how Stetson's paw. Oh, that's his tail. Just kidding.
Yeah, that did look like his paw for a second. And I was like, oh my God, is it broken backwards? But both of them have been cuddling in my lap together at the same time recently, which just fills my heart with so much joy. It's all I've ever wanted. I can die happy now. It's amazing. I love it.
Dude, you just wait. You wait, because now that you have two kittens, you know my ass is going to get another weenie dog.
I think you need another weenie dog.
Jackson is obsessed with getting another one because he is in love with Mia.
You're surrounded by weenie enablers.
Yes, because they're perfect.
Yes.
Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Perfect. Yes, they are. And they are. And you know what? Mia needs another ween to play with.
Oh my God. Can you just imagine her with her zoomies having like a friend to zoom around with? Like she'd have the best time.
Like a friend that wants to zoom with her.
Yes. And she has so much energy and like to have a little puppy. Like I'm going to have to wait till I have like I'm at least renting a house because two dogs in this apartment's not going to happen.
Yeah. But
that's like, see, that is like my life update. People post pictures of their dog. I'm not trying to be that millennial, but like people post pictures of their baby. I post pictures of my dog. I'm not like, I know that's such a cringy millennial, older millennial thing to say, but like.
But it still holds true.
Yeah. Like it's the truth. That's what I take care of. You take care of your kids. I take care of my dog. And my cats.
Yep.
That's it. That's all. That's all there is to it. And I don't know. It's just very.
It'll be. I think it's just like it's fun. It's fun to watch all of the people who you grew up around, you know, seeing what they're doing with their lives. And it's really interesting to see how much they differ. And, you know, it's interesting to see just where people went, you know, did they stay in their hometown? Did they move away? Like, do they have six kids now or are they living in Spain abroad? Like,
yes.
Like what life path did people end up taking? And it just so happens that we are both very happy with ours.
Yeah, for real.
And it's only going to get more interesting, especially as we approach 30. You know, that's like a huge milestone. And it's also like the time where pressure is typically put on women. If you want kids or you're thinking about them, you know, it's like, oh my God, your biological tick is clocking.
You said your biological tick is clocking.
Oh.
Your biological tick is clocking.
Your biological
tick. Not the ticks.
Man. Oh man. One of these days I will get a saying right. One time.
What? It's one okay.
Time. One time I will. But and yeah, you know, all of these pressures, 30 is like a time for women that can be like really empowering and really awesome because let's face it, we're just getting hotter and richer, right? but then there's like society that's like, you need to start thinking about having babies if you're going to have them. And then that means you have to start, you're like, oh my God, I'm 30. Do I have to like put my career on hold? Or if you're not married, then society's like, oh my God, you're 30 and you're not married. The men are going to be taken. Remember, you just, 30 is just an age for women, all ages for women, let's be honest, have.
Then just take them. Take them. Yeah. I don't want them.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. It's just, it's just interesting to see how our generation is like, you know what? You can tell me all the things I should have or be doing right now, and I just don't give a fuck anymore. I just don't give a fuck.
I was talking with my boss the other day. We are like so transparent with each other. Like, I consider her like such a good friend now. But she's 10 years older than me. Or no, she just turned 38, so 11 years older than me. And we were just talking about, like, you know, how different life is for people who had kids super young, got married super young, and like, it's fine if that's what you want. But like, for us, like, the lives that we lead, the things that we choose to spend our money on, the things that we choose to do for ourselves, the places we choose to go, the friends we have, like, all of that stuff would be totally different in our life if we'd gone down the path of having kids. And it just makes me just like really glad, because like, I don't look back and I don't have regrets about not marrying my like first boyfriend. I don't have like regrets about leaving my ex-fiance. Like, I don't have any of those. And I'm just glad that like life has taken the direction it has, because I spent $700 on clothes this week, and I couldn't do that if I had a kid.
Oh no.
Did I need them? No. I just want to redo my wardrobe.
And you know, I was actually, I don't remember who I was talking to about regrets around this age, right? Because we still have our entire lives to live if we live until 80 or whatever. And you always think about having regrets as an old person, you know, like thinking about when you're 80 and being like, oh, I want to live and not have regrets. But what about regrets now, already as a late 20 something? And some regrets are easier than others, I guess you could say. Like, I am so happy with where my life is right now. Obviously I regret getting married. It ended in divorce. But I don't know, at the same time, like, you know, if I hadn't made those decisions, it's like the butterfly effect. Like, I would not be living this exact life that I have right now if that didn't happen. But I mean, you know, it would have been a totally different story if I had had kids in that marriage, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I remember, oh my God, I remember when you had told me that, like, you guys were like potentially thinking about having a baby, and my heart dropped. And I was like, oh my God, like, don't, like, Brooke, be happy for her. And I was like, oh, yay. But inside I was like, no.
Yeah. And that's how I kind of felt on the inside too. Because I like didn't realize that I could express that feeling as a woman, not wanting that, you know? I hadn't even come to terms with that I was allowed to not want that yet, which is crazy. But, oh, you know, I was talking to, it was when we were in California, and I was talking to one of my boyfriend's relatives, and she's young. And we were at a bar and we were dancing, and I can't remember, I don't know if, you know, if she was talking about marriage or whatever. And people are like, don't get married. You're 22. You're so young. And that is so young. I got married at 23. I was a fetus when I got married, practically.
You were.
I was just a baby. And And but also at the same time, and granted, I had been drinking, and so I don't know if this was good advice or not, but people are like, don't get married, you're 22, you'll regret it. Blah, blah, blah. You know what? Get married and regret it. Like, if you want to do that, then do it. Like, I think there's no way I would have learned my lesson. There is nobody who could have talked me off that ledge. And because I was young and uninterested of taking the opinions and advice of others who knew better than me. And I think that's how a lot of us are at that age. So, you know what? Do it. And if you regret it, the time to regret things is now, not when you're 80.
Yeah, exactly. And like the you are that is true for you in many aspects of your life.
I know.
There are some things where you tell me you're gonna do them, and I'm like, that's really like not a good idea, but I know that if I tell her, she's just gonna try it anyways. And she just needs it. Sometimes there's just things that Liz just has to learn on Liz's own time, and she doesn't want to be told no.
I am fully aware that I am adverse to not so much anymore, but when I was in my early 20s, I was so adverse to taking the advice of others. I was like, no, I'm figuring this out all on my own.
Yeah. It's
And
almost as if you became like hyper independent because of the fact that you had lost both of your parents. Like you became that way because in your brain you were like, well, I don't have a choice anyway, so like I'm doing everything else on my own. Let me
right.
do this myself.
Oh, I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. And yeah, I did a lot of things the hard way. I did a lot of things that could have been avoided if I had just listened to the people who were much wiser than me and had my best interests in mind. But you know what? It doesn't work like that for everybody. And so I don't know. It's like this age is a weird time where it's like, okay, you can take the advice of people and not regret things. Or you know what? If you're gonna go out and fucking regret it, do it right now. Like, this
Yeah.
is the time. This is the time to fuck up. This is the time to change. This is the time to hit rock bottom. This is the time to make all your mistakes and your regrets. Like, just fucking do it. I don't know. Maybe I've just like lost my marbles. Who knows?
No, I think that you are right because you know how many, those little like inspirational, like little pieces you'll see on like Instagram or whatever, or like back in like Tumblr days, it was like super popular to see stuff like this, but it was just like life's about taking risks, like take the trip, spend your money, date the guy, regret it, fall in love, fail, then fall in love again. Like that type of dumb shit. There's some truth behind it, a little bit, just a little bit. We're not saying go do meth,
Everything
okay?
in moderation.
We're not saying do meth. We're not telling you to go do heroin. We're telling you if that's what you want. And there's not a huge doubt or a big bad gut feeling.
Right. Yeah, I guess the moral of that whole spiel was, like, do I have regrets? Yes. But do I absolutely love the life I'm living now? Yes.
Yeah. And you wouldn't be Liz. You would not be the Liz that I know and love had you not gone through that shit. Like,
So it's, I don't know. Yeah. It's like, that's one of those things where it's like, what would you tell, if we're almost 30, like, what would you tell your 20-year-old self? Like, would you tell them to listen to the advice of others? But then you'd end up in a totally different life.
yeah, if
So.
I had listened, God, if I had listened to somebody giving me advice about like my relationship at 19, I don't know. I could have probably been happier faster had I listened, but I also think that if I had taken other people's advice, I wouldn't have learned the importance of, taking things into your own hands legal matters. Like, I had to get a restraining order. Like, there's a lot of, and then I went on to help other people who needed to get that, like protective orders against their exes. Like, it, I don't, like, we've said this on the podcast before that, like, we don't like the phrase, like, everything happens for a reason, but the little shit like that, when you look back, you're like, damn, like, I went through that so that I could help someone else not struggle so hard when they're going through it.
Yeah.
Like, not so that I can, like, prevent it, but.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right. I really hate that everything happens for a reason bullshit. I think with a lot of people, if you're just a genuinely, like, nice or empathetic person, when you go through something, you, like, that's like a new skill set when you go through something like that. And so it's just like your willingness to share that wisdom and that skill set with other people, but, you know, not like, oh, the universe sent me this crazy butt fuck face of a man.
Butt fuck face. Jesus. Butt fuck face.
Just so that he could, like, be terrible to me and then I could get a restraining order and that would help other people. That is not what we're saying.
No.
But because you experience that and you have the skill set of knowing what the fuck to do when you need a restraining order, you have helped other people that way. And I lost my train of thought after butt fuck face.
Yeah, I kind of lost mine too. That took me out.
I wanted to say something a little jarring and shocking, and it kind of jarred me myself.
Butt fuck face. I mean, yeah, like, we're not trying to tell you, like, put yourself through hell so you can help other people. Like, no. But
you know what? When you end up regretting something, just, like, I don't know. I guess what we're saying is sometimes you got to take the risk, you know? Like, all these things that you're questioning, will I regret this? It's a risk, whether it's a financial risk or a relationship risk.
Or a haircut.
Or even a haircut. They're all just risks. And all risks come with weighing the pros and the cons. So you can do things the old-fashioned way and write yourself a list of all the pros and the cons. And you know what? If there's more pros, then just fucking go for it. And if it fails, oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, fucking well. Like, it'll be...
It will be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine one way or another. It probably will suck for a while and you'll be like, why the fuck did I do that? I'm so fucking stupid. I'm not. But eventually it'll be okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yep.
Oh, shit, dude. My old roommate turned 29 this week. And it's so crazy to think that, like, when we lived together, like, she was like 23 and I was like 20, 21, and now, like, it's just so much later and she's at the end of her 20s and she just had a birth or not yeah her birthday cake was it had a cemetery on it and it was like RIP to my 20s.
That's cute.
And I thought that was so cute. And she is definitely someone who I feel like is gonna super enjoy her 30s. I think that you and I are really gonna enjoy our 30s.
Yes, I am excited for it.
I think that I'm going to start panicking when I'm like 50. That's when you have your midlife crisis. Cause you're like, what the fuck have I accomplished?
Yeah. Oh my God. And then you start seeing videos like that guy with the M&Ms about how many weeks you live. And you realize it's not that many M&Ms. Have you seen that video? It's like a guy who is like, let's say you live to 70 and he pulls out as many M&Ms, so like 70 times 52 or yes 70 times 52, and that's an M&M for every week of your life if you live to 70. And it's 3,640 M&Ms, which sounds like it, that's a lot if you were to eat that many M&Ms in one day. But when you see a pile of M&Ms that's, and even just laid out, 3,640, you're like, well, shit, there aren't that many M&Ms here.
That reminds me of something that someone told me two summers ago. They were like, if somebody told you that you were only going to see your parents or your friend or whomever ate more, like a handful of times more before they died, like how like would it push you to go out of your way to see them more? And he was like, what if someone told you were only going to see your grandma, like she was going to live to be for like 5 more years, but you were only going to see her seven more times? That freaks me out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so does the M&M thing. So fucking thank you.
Yeah. So it's, you know, and then you're like, oh my God, 50 M&Ms, 50 times 52 is 2,600. Wait, how does that make any sense?
I've only been alive 10,047 days.
Weeks.
No, days. I've been alive 1,435.3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. That's not a lot. That doesn't seem like a lot, right?
No, it doesn't seem like a lot. Damn, I'm fresh out of the womb, bitch.
I got fresh-ass baby skin.
I got fresh-ass baby skin.
No wonder my complexion is still glowy.
Damn, I'm gonna see how long my grandma's been around. She old as sin. 430-37. Let's calculate.
My grandpa has been around for 4,160 weeks. What the fuck? That just doesn't seem like a lot. He's 80. That doesn't seem like a lot, though.
My grandma's been around 4,472 weeks.
Whoa. That's nuts. They're like 80 plus, but when you hear 4,000 weeks, I mean, it's like a lot, but it also like doesn't sound like a lot. You know? That's crazy.
What are you, when we turn 50, if you haven't done name three things that you absolutely want to have done by age 50.
Oh, shit. Well, shit.
Shit, bitch.
You put me on the spot. Okay, by age 50, I want to be retired.
Mm-hmm.
I want... What else do I want? What the fuck do I want? What do you want?
I don't know! What do you want?
I don't know. I want to retire. I want to own property.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to have... traveled.
That's literally the same fucking three things I want.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I guess if we stick together, domino effect, the same things will happen to us, so we can't go wrong.
That's exactly right. Have we talked about this on the podcast? The day one of us accidentally gets knocked up, the other one's gonna be like, "Bitch, no, no,
mm-mm.
But we're going straight to the clinic."
Straight to the clinic. Goodbye. No, thank you. No, thank you. Not doing it. You know what? We haven't thought about for a while. Like, what's the last thing that happened to one of us that happened to the other?
Well,
we both kind of have the same job.
We do, yeah. Yeah, we do.
I'm not getting a scooter.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it. I don't know, man.
It's only a matter of time, dude.
It is. As long as it's something good.
What should our emoji be for this episode?
Let's see. Should it be a pill?
That's a good one. Yep.
Be the pill. Tough pills to swallow.
Sounds good. If you have listened this far, go comment the pill emoji under the newest Instagram post for this episode. And also comment and tell us three things that you hope by 50 you've done in your life.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to know. Probably a lot of people have like the same things as us. They want to like travel. I definitely want to travel. I want to be well traveled.
Right. Exactly. I want to, and I want to continue traveling after 50. It's not like I want to stop at 50, but I want all of the places that I want to go up until then, I want to have been able to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I don't want this like, oh, I'll take that vacation when I'm like 65 and retired. No. Mm-hmm. We're taking the vacations. We're doing the travels. And I don't know, at least like, you know, I'm like trying to set myself up for that. One of the biggest reasons why I love working for myself is I can work from anywhere. All I need is my laptop, and I want to be able to go anywhere and not have to, like, you know, no more of this PTO bullshit.
Stop calling me, Emma. Emma was calling me.
Who is calling you?
She was calling me. I'm going to literally send her a message and be like, you is now in the latest episode because you called me. You called me.
But yeah, I want to be able to work from anywhere. I want to be like, oh, here is this awesome flight deal to go round trip to Hawaii for $87 from some random Tuesday to some other random Tuesday. Hell yeah, I'm going to go because I can just whip open my laptop, work for myself. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, or just in just being remote and being able to travel and work at the same time, because I've always separated, and there is something really great about separating, like going on vacation and not working. Those are definitely things I want to have too. But
it's also just cool to be able to be like, I'm working from Timbuktu. I don't know where the fuck that is.
Well, I went to California over Christmas. And I went for 10 days. That's like, if I was not working, I mean, like, that's a long time. That's a big vacation. But I got to work for a few hours each day while I was there. And I had an amazing time. It wasn't stressful. Like, I do feel like I got a vacation. And it's because I was doing work that I like to do for just a few hours in the morning. And then I had the whole rest of the day to do whatever the hell I wanted. And while I was doing that, I was like, you know what? This could be my life. I'm cool with this.
Tell me why I just looked up flights to Denver and it said $24 flights. What are you in the fucking carry-on bag?
Yeah. Is someone shoving you in their suitcase?
What is Frontier?
Oh.
That's bad, probably.
Wait. That is a round trip or is that a single?
That's one way.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And then there's a Spirit. Spirit's 153.
Those are cheap airlines, but to Denver. I mean, if you can manage 3.5 hours on a tiny seat with a tiny tray table, you'll be fine. But yeah, you know, I find deals all the time for flights. And it's because they're like some random time, right? It's like some random Tuesday to Thursday or whatever. And it's during the week. And you're like, oh my God, this would be so awesome. I would love to do this. And I want to be able to like get up and do that.
we're going to have all of our dreams come true. Yes. By the time we're 50, then we'll have more dreams. And then hopefully we'll die before we're disgustingly decrepit and in pain.
And that's where we end this episode.
And that's where we end this episode.
Go comment the pill emoji. Follow us on Instagram if you aren't already. It's at the Witchful Thinking Podcast. And join our coven group on Facebook.
Do it. You know you want to, bitch. Bye.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.